one more unit on some of these issues of yichus and reproduction that you'll face. And again, it's a huge mitzvah in halacha. First, just to reiterate what you had talked about beforehand, just want to remind people about adoption, that according to the overwhelming majority of poskim, the yisurim of yichud and negia do apply to adopted children, because the maisa, even though a mother could have yichud with a son, and chibuk and nishuk is mutter, and a father and a daughter, but adoption is not exactly the same. And memela, most poskim do say there's an iser. The yaitse min aklal is the tzitz Eliezer, and even the tzitz Eliezer matras bedochak, he's not so enthusiastic about it, in which he taines that the sight of a father and a daughter being mutter beyichud and negia, and a father and a daughter and a mother and a son, is not because of biological connection, but it's because the Yetzer Hara is not shaylates on someone that you raised as a baby. And Memela, he tainas that if the adoption is of a baby, it's Tzitz Eliezer. Adoption of a baby, so he holds that there's a svara to say, there is no issur of either yichud or negiyah. Once again, in your kirov business, the question becomes, since there is at least a das yachid that matters these yanim, maybe kedai to allow people who are at least initially in the stages not to be overly machmir on the yacht. There's no Yerusha at all. That's actually very pashut. An adopted child is not a Yerush, that's for sure. You can provide for him in a will, and then you have a shayla, how do you do a will according to halacha? But
there's no mitzvah ki on Yerusha?
Of what?
On Yerusha.
No.
Can he
marry who?
His daughter.
An adopted daughter? Yeah. Now, according to the Yushalmi Tanakh, the Yushalmi actually says, Taisus Nivamis brings a Yushalmi that says that a stepbrother should not marry a stepsister because of Marisayim. Now, the Babli doesn't mention such a halacha, and the Machlekes HaPaiskim, if we follow the Yushalmi. So, according to the Yushalmi that asers stepbrother and stepsister, then L'chaira who I did would be a stepchild, or an adopted child would be like a stepchild. Of course, let me just step back a little bit. Certain stepchildren are actually usher d'oraisa. In other words, it's never pashut. If you marry a woman and she has a child from another marriage, that's one of the arayas. That's called bas ishte. So that oifen is d'oraisa. But an adopted child might have a din of a step sibling like the Yushalmi. So like the Yushalmi, there is a makam to aser, but it's machlekes halacha if we pass from the Yushalmi. The Bavli doesn't mention the aser.
Rav Moshe says that for stepbrother and stepsister to Miyagi instead of Yerushalmi would say that there's an iser to marry each other, that means that there was never an iser yichud up until then.
Right, so that would be the tzadkula of the Yerushalmi. Right. That's right. On the other hand,
so if you're going to say the same for a father to a daughter, it would also have that.
It could be like that svara.
From what age is the
iser yichud come? All right. So the iser yichud is not chal at a tiny little girl. So yesh machmirim. Some people are machmir, but that's a very das yachid. They're machmir from 3 years old. But b'derech klal, Rav Meisha Paskins. This is the minhag ha'ilam. Although I can't promise this is the minhag in Yerushalayim, but you know, wherever you're going, the minhag is going to be that from the time that a woman either becomes a nida, which is typically around 11 or older. Or some say you can wait until she's a gedola, but certainly before the zman that she could be expected to be a nida, there's no issue.
For a boy, it would be 9 and a day.
For a boy, it would be some say 9 because he's roi labia, and some say that even if he's roi labia, there's no taivas bia till adolescence, so they allow you to do 13. Yeah.
Biological father, when they got divorced, and he's never seen his daughter.
Yes, so this is actually a kasha on the Tzitz Eliezer. Because if the Tzitz Eliezer says the kula, that if you adopt a baby, there's no iser yichud, because it's totally on raising him,
right,
then that should mean the biological father who didn't see his child should have an iser yichud, right? That would be the chumra. And yet it's a davar pashut that if there's a biological kedusha, it's mutter. So apparently, the Tzitz Eliezer must be learning that there are two components that are matir, and either one is a heter. Meaning, the heter is either b'metzias, or the pshat is your magadol.
So he's definitely mutter.
L'chayr it's vaday mutter. Unless, I don't think there's a machlekes, that if it's a maizit, your biological child, unless there's a geiris. A geiris is different. In other words, but if it's not a geiris and it's not kiniskaya dummy, for sure it's going to be much. Yeah.
Is the iser yichud only in a closed room, or could it be even outside?
Well, but derech klal, it has to be a makom mutzne. It can be outside if it's if you're in the forest. Yeah, vada. If you're in the forest and it's dark and people aren't around and it's a secluded area, the trees can have a din of a makom mutzne.
It has to be trees. It has to be. If there's no trees, and then there's no. I say there's houses there, but there's.
If there are houses there, derech klal, there wouldn't be a yichud outside because people come outside. By the way, there was a famous case. So it's not just a bit of trivia, but it's an interesting case.
When you're dating, huh?
Yeah, that's right. This is a case that is taught in law schools to illustrate certain propositions. This involved a modern Orthodox couple that were dated. They were not married yet, and they were going skiing, and they were on a ski lift, and they were the only two people on the ski lift. And the ski lift, you know, these things that go across the mountain. So the ski lift stopped in the middle. It malfunctioned. So the woman was cheshish for yichud. Essentially, the guy didn't do anything. So the woman, she jumped off the ski lift, and she seriously, it's not funny really, but she broke her leg. She broke two legs. Yeah. So she sued her parents, or she sued the ski lift operator that they're chayav for her damages because of their malfunction that was mechayav for her to jump, that it shouldn't be a din of yichud. And the case actually involved expert testimony. Was she different rabbis? Was she mechayev to jump? So the ski lift manufacturer found a reform rabbi, you know, who said, "No such thing. This is a mishugas," you know, etc. So it's actually, you know, machlokas and testimony. What Jewish law required. I don't remember the psak. I think Lamaisa, she didn't recover because they said, "Listen, even if it's her sincerely held religious belief, you can't be mechayev the ski lift operator for things she did outside religion."
What would be the minimum time for this job?
So the shir of yichud, the Gemara in Saita says, there are many different opinions, but it's b'derech klal between 3 minutes and 8 minutes. It's not a long shir. The Gemara literally has 10 different opinions about the amount of time it takes to make an egg, a million opinions, but it's a very short time, as it were. Even elevators is a shiloh too. If you're stuck in an elevator, of course, if you're stuck in an elevator, how do you get out? Is that so clear? Okay.
So right. Nice enough, she was mechayev to jump up. She wasn't.
He was more.
Bukhari jumping off is a suffix sakana, and she's karka ilam, so she's not mukhiyevis to be meiser. She's passive woman, so she's not mukhiyevis to be meiser nefesh according to many shitas. He might be mukhiyev. There's a shayla taka. If yichud alone is a chiyev of gimel chamuras, that's a machlekes. Yichud, right? Yichud bia, you know, is gimel chamuras. The question is, Lagabi the Yisr Yichud, it's not so clear that it's Yehareg Ve'al Yavor on the Yisr Yichud. They say B'Shem Rav Yisrael Salanter that Yichud is Yehareg Ve'al Yavor, and the Chazanish seem to say that in a lot of places. Some say Faker. The Lumdus is the following. It's an interesting Lumdus. A woman is not Mechayev to be Meiser Nefesh because her sin is only passive. Well, Yichud is also passive. In other words, the man's sin of Yichud, he's not doing a maisa either. He's just there. So legabe yichud, as opposed to bia, the man and the woman are in the same matzav, and mimhela there may not be a chiyuv of mesiras nefesh on yichud. So whether she's mechuyev to jump, but I think, you know, I don't know if she eventually got married, but I think it's a good credential.
What's
you know, someone who makes a shidduch with Lakewood, and is she from? Is she from? I tell you. The other hand, the guy's like, well, why was she going skiing? Okay, you know, different. Okay, different way. Or maybe it's like she had a hero tshuva mamish then. Is that mamish maharil b'tshuva, and she did what she did. Okay, all right.
Can only invite that she had tshuva any time during the day.
L'chaira, it's very hard to hear that if a ski lift is open, these things are open, and it's the day, even though they're stuck in the middle of nowhere, it's very hard to hear there be an Isra Yichud. I mean, L'chaira, whatever, I mean, they can be seen. They can be seen. So what do you say? They can go on the floor of the thing? It's not Mistavra that would be an Isra Yichud, even in the day, certainly in the day, and even at night, it's Yesh Ladin. It's not Pashut. That a stopped ski lift where people are still in the facility would have a din of yichud. Yichud is well, Yichud with a Pnuya is not deraisa, but the question is Yichud with a Nida may be deraisa. Yichud with a Stam Pnuya is talking about. Okay. But I want to go back to some of the Yichud's problems we'll face. We were talking about the different reproduction. Now, when we talked about the Machlekes Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe about artificial insemination, the issue of the Jewish status of the kid was not an issue because the mother was a Jew, right? So that wasn't a Geya. But now we're talking about things that are much more chamor in terms of consequences, because you're fooling around with the mother's part of things and not just the father's part of things. And in particular, we have two variations. One, the Paiskim Beferish are very, very against. The other, they're against, but people do it anyway, so apparently people are macho under the table. I'll explain what this is. Number one is the use of a surrogate. Pundakoyet in Hebrew, right? Pundakoyet means an innkeeper, really, but a surrogate would simply mean that, let's say, for example, the Jewish woman does not have a womb. She had a hysterectomy. She does not have a rechem. She ovulates. She has beitzim. She has eggs, but she does not have a rechem. She cannot carry a baby. So there is a business, rent a womb, in which women volunteer to carry the baby, right? So what you have is zera of husband, egg of wife, fertilized in vitro, and then it is carried by another woman for 9 months, and she agrees under a contract to carry the baby. Of course, if she can get paid, that's different legalities. Technically, she's only supposed to get her expenses, but whatever, the expenses are always, you know, high enough that she gets a lot of extra money. And then she delivers the baby. Now, first of all, I want to point out, forget about halacha for a second, this is a highly dangerous arrangement, because you might expect that a woman who carries someone's baby for 9 months might be emotionally attached to the baby and won't always give up, and court cases fight as to, you know, this and that. But analyzing it from the Stam perspective of halacha, what is the issue of surrogacy? And you have a lot of different permutations. First of all, let's take the simplest, well, not the simplest, but the most obvious question. And that is, if the pundakait is a non-Jewish woman, right, the surrogate, the one who carries the baby, is a non-Jewish woman, but the beitza, the egg, the beya is Jewish, so the shaila is, and let's assume she gives you back the baby, so that's not a shaila of that. The question is the child a goy who needs geiris? Or is the child a yid who doesn't need geiris? We know, of course, that al pi halacha, the yichus of the vlad depends on the mother, keseder. But who's the mother? Is the mother the one who contributed the genetic material of the offspring that is Jewish? Or is the mother the one who carried the baby for 9 months? Memela, the child would be a goy, and as a goy would need geiris, and that would have repercussions for yichud and negiyah and yerusha, and the chi of mitzvahs, and the ability to be meicha. Remember, if you're magaya or katan, they could be meicha when they become a mitzvah. All of these different yam. Aliyah l'tayra, what's the name even? Because remember, it's also habu atalia. There is an akud on the father too. Because if the child is a guy who needs geiris, the father cannot be makayim period verivya with such a child, because the geiris is mafkiya and he shaychas to the father. If, on the other hand, the child is Jewish, the father would have a kiyum. In other words, indirectly, the Jewishness of the child will also be nageya, the father's kiyum of Piri Verivya. So here, as you might expect, we have kama v'kama shitas bedavar. I'm sure you may have heard over the years, some paiskim want to bring a raya from a medrash, although it's a machlekes. Is number one, is the medrash a raya, and number two, can you bring a raya from a medrash? This is the famous medrash about Yosef and Dina, and it's actually not the Medrash that Rashi brings, it's Targum Yainas son ben Uziel, which is a variation of the Medrash, in which when Leah was pregnant, she was actually, with her last child, she was actually pregnant with a boy who would have been Yosef. And when Rachel was finally pregnant, she was pregnant with a girl that would have been Dina. And Leah was mispaleles, knowing with Ruach HaKodesh she'd have a boy, because if she would have a boy, that would be the 11th shevet. And that would only leave one shevet for Rachel. And she would be pachais from the shvachais, who had two. So Shteik, Leah was mispalel. Now, Rashi brings that, but Targum Yainasen says the following. In the Gemara and in the Rashi, it just says that the Nekeva in Leah's womb, I'm sorry, the Zohar in Leah's womb turned into a Nekeva. That's what Rashi says. Targum Yainasen says the following Kenech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an embryo switch, meaning Leah, the girl who became Leah, was in Rachel's body. I'm sorry, the girl who became Dina, was in Rachel's body, and the boy who became Yosef was in Leah's body, and the Kayach of Tefillah created a miracle, which surgically could be done today, that the Ubrin were Nischalef. Now that's a Knesh that Rashi doesn't add. Now, here's the thing. So it turns out that according to Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, the egg from which Yosef was fertilized was Leah's egg. The egg from which Dina was fertilized was Rachel's egg. So it actually turns out that you have a situation where each one became the surrogate, although they didn't deliver the child afterwards, became the surrogate for the other. Now, since B'chol HaTaira Kula, Dina is always described as the daughter of Leah, and Yosef is always described as the son of Rachel, Zatmendach, that the Iker that's Kaiveya, maternity, is the one that had Leda. Now that would mean in the case of surrogacy, if the surrogate is a goy, the child is a goy. That's one mashmais from the Medrash. Now, some say, I'll bring you a raya fakert from that same medrash. Fakert from the same medrash to answer another kasha. It says that Rashi brings a medrash that says that who did the Shvatim marry? So they married their twin sisters. Now, they ask Akasha, how could they marry their twin sisters? Even if you're going to say that Kaida Matan Taira, the Shvatim didn't keep the Dine Arayos. Maybe you'll say that. But L'chala Pachas, they were Mechuyiv in the Arayas of B'nai Nayach. And B'nai Nayach cannot marry Achaisei. Even also Ben Nayach they can't. Well, good, they didn't keep Dinei Torah. Maybe you'll say that as a teretz for them. But they have to keep Arayas B'nai Nayach. So the precious Durachim gives the following answer. Under Dinei B'nai Nayach, it is only forbidden for you to marry Achaisei Min Ha'av, but you're allowed to marry Achaisei Minayim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has drushes. So Memela, we could say the following. I'm sorry, I messed up. I said the opposite. In Dinei B'nai Nayach, you can marry Achaisei Minayim that's not Minayim. It's only Usher if it's Achaisei Minayim. Ah, so Memela, it's very Miyushiv. When it says the Shvatim married their sisters, remember, there are six twins from Leah and two twins from Bilhah and two from Zilpah and two from Rachel. Mimela, the six children of Leah, six boys of Leah, married the six girls from the other wives. In other words, each one married a sister from a different mother. And als dinei b'nei nayach, if your sister does not share the same mother as you, it's mutter. In other words, the heter was they married achaisei min ha'aim. I'm sorry, they married Achaisei min ha'av, Shalom min ha'aim, and that's Mutra B'dinei B'nei Nayach, and even though it's Aser B'dinei Yisrael, but all right, the Shvatim themselves did not necessarily keep Kol HaTaira Kula. Now, here's one point though. But L'chare, it's Shver, because there's another Medrash that says, Shimon in addition to Shimon marrying his twin sister, Shimon married Dina. How could Shimon marry Dina? L'chare, that's not only Achaisei min ha'av, it's also Achaisei min ha'aim. So Pumfaker, that might bring a raya that Dina's mother is not halachically Leah. Dina's mother is halachically Rachel, like Targum Yonasan. And Mimela, Dina and Shimon are only related by their father and not related by their mother. So what's interesting is you can take the same medrash of Nischalfu Ubrayan and you can bring two mamish opposite rayas. That's one. That's why I say, number one, it's not clear what raya you bring for the medrash. But number two, the Paiskim don't really like this raya at all because they basically say that these are inyanim of Agadita, and we don't always know if Agadah is literal or not literal, and we don't know the inner meaning of the Agadah, and therefore you cannot be machria a shayla of halacha based on a medrash. And in fact, Yushalmi says it before. Yushalmi says generally, ein lemeiden halacha mipi Agadah. There's actually a Yushalmi that has azah lashon. So memel, as I say, it's not muchra. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it is a sveika d'dina, and memeli you have to be machmir and have a geyormi suffik. Other paiskim do say you go baser leida. There are different shitas, but lemaisa we're nayeg, you have to be machmir. Now let me just mention a raya from the Gemara Yevamos though, which is actually a very stark raya, but based on Rav Chaim's prat in the Gemara, the raya is not a raya. That is the following. The Gemara in Yevamos in Ha'aral discusses a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant from a guy, let's say, and she converts while she's pregnant. A woman converts while she's a muberes. She goes to the mikveh while she's muberes, and then the child is born. So state in the Gemara, a muberes sheniskaira, her son does not need immersion in the mikveh, because the tevila of the mother is a valid maiset tevila for the velad. And the Gemara in Yevamos discusses issues. L'chara, how could that be so? The mother's body should be a chatzitza between the water and the baby. And even if you hold that rubai v'einai makbit, if most of your body is covered, but you're not makbid to remove it, it's not a chatzitza. And here the vlad is not makbid. The vlad is happy to have the mother. But that's only ruba is not chaitzis, but kula is vadai chaitzis.
So the
Gemara discusses. Yeah. So the Gemara's maskana is that since the mother's body is what keeps the vlad alive, it's not a chatzitza, it's really part of what the vlad needs. Now, the point of the Gemara is the following. You see from the Gemara that a child that is conceived from a goy needs a conversion even though he's born from a woman who's already a Jewish mother. Because if you're going to say that the halachic relationship of the child is established by from whom he's born, he is born from a Jewish woman. I mean, the same way, if after her gerush she got pregnant and gave birth to a kid, right? This is a Jewish kid. Here, the fact that the conception was bigayusa, but the leida was bigayrusa, why does the Gemara have to discuss whether the conversion tevila is valid? L'chaira, you don't need a conversion tevila. The kid was born from a Jewish mother. So, l'chaira, you see from here, right, the opposite of what they were trying to prove from the Medrash, that if a child is conceived as a goy, even if he's born from a yid, he would still be a goy unless there was a geiris in the middle. So l'chaira, that would bring a raya, actually that would help you in surrogacy, that would bring a raya that the kid who is born from the surrogate would be Jewish because the conception was from a yid, right?
But the birth one.
Yeah, the other one, right, that's correct. But the emes is, so this is a good, this is Takei Gidra, this is a raya from a sugya of Muberish in Iskaira. But the emes is, there's a hezra from Rav Chaim on the Gemara. Rav Chaim isn't dealing with surrogate motherhood directly, but there's a hezra from Rav Chaim on that Gemara that is Madche the raya. And Rav Chaim time is like this. That which the Gemara says when a Muberish is Niskaira, you need a tefila on the mother. And in other words, you need a tefillah on the vlad via the mother, or the kid still remains a goy. Rav Chaim Tainas, that's only if the upper is at least 40 days old. Because once it's 40 days old, it then becomes a distinct entity. It's no longer mayim bi'alma. As a distinct entity, it needs a geiris. It needs a conversion. And the conversion could be through the mother's tefillah. But Rav Chaim says, if a muberes is niskaira pachusa mimem yaim, since the uber is maya bialma, it doesn't have any status at all, then it becomes a yid by birth because it never had a chalais. In other words, if Chaim's taina is that there can't be a chalais goyus on an ober less than mem yayim, because an ober less than mem yayim is halachically a non-existent entity. Now this has a big nafkamina, because if that means like this, if she converts when she's already pregnant for 40 days, it's only going to be valid because essentially you're Magaya Rakatan. Under those circumstances, you have to know, she has to know that she's pregnant. Otherwise, it can't be a Geris of a Katan. Less than Mem Yayim, she doesn't even have to, you know, normally she won't know. She doesn't even have to know because you don't need a Geris. Now, it turns out like this. It turns out that Rav Chaim says the Chalais of being a Goy cannot be Chal on an Ober less than 40 days, because an Ober less than 40 days is a non-existent entity. Now, since, generally speaking, this means that the embryo that's fertilized is transferred less than 40 days. So it turns out, Rav Chaim's yisayit is, where was the uber when it became 40 days old? Wherever the uber was when it becomes 40 days old is kaveya its status. So if the uber is in a non-Jewish woman's body when it hits 40 days old, then it taka becomes a goy. But if the uber was less than mem yayim, right, then it does not. In other words, so according to Rav Chaim, instead of the Gemara showing you that you always follow the egg origin, the Gemara just means you always follow where the egg was at 40 days. Right, that's a chiluk. Yeah.
How do you calculate 40 days from when?
Well, we calculate from conception. Now, that's a little different than medical calculations. Medical calculate from the missing of the last period. But that could be a few days before actual conception.
The missing of the last?
Yeah, when a woman misses her period.
No, in a dish.
Yeah. Huh?
In a dish.
Oh, in a dish? Yeah. Oh, no, in a dish it's very easy. You count 40 days from the fertilization, the penetration of the sperm into the egg. That's fertilization. That is a defined time, and that's day one, and then you count 40, and after 40 days it is now considered to be. But what I'm saying is they never leave it 40 days in the dish, meaning they're going to put it in a body. And Rav Chaim learns that the pshat of the Gemara is wherever the egg is on the 40th day is what is kaveya its status. So according to Rav Chaim, it turns out it'll still be the same, by the way, but for a different lumbus. I mean, it'll be enough community with egg donation, really. In surrogacy, it really makes no difference, because either way, let me explain this. Either way, if the surrogate is a non-Jewish woman, the child will be a goy. But either way, but the lumbus is different, and you'll see in a case, I'll reverse it, it'll be a big nafkamina. According to the conventional understanding, the reason the child is a goy is because it came from a non-Jewish birth mother. According to Rav Chaim, the child is a goy because on the 40th day from conception, it was within a goy, and that was kaveya its status. So Rav Chaim would also say the child is born from the surrogate is a goy, but not because the birth mother was a non-Jew, but because on the 40th day it was in the body of a goy, and when it acquired the status of a separate being, it became a goy.
Yeah, but she still went to the mikvah and it was calling the baby.
No. So that's why you need a conversion. That's what Rav Chaim is saying. In other words, like
saying
this.
Saying you have lechomer anyway.
No. Rav Chaim is saying this. Rav Chaim, in the case of a surrogate, she didn't go to the mikvah. See, we're talking about two different cases.
She didn't go to the mikvah.
These are two different cases. We're going back and forth here. The shaila of the surrogate is a woman who doesn't go to the mikvah. The Gemara is talking about a single woman, meaning one woman, who converts while she's pregnant.
Rav Chaim's not on that Gemara?
Rav Chaim is on that Gemara, yes.
So if the baby is less than 40 days, and she went to the mikvah...
So Rav Chaim says, if the baby is less than 40 days, so and the woman went to the mikvah...
So it would be Jewish anyway.
The child is Jewish by birth, and not by conversion.
And if it's more than 40 days...
Then if she goes to the mikvah, the child needs a geiris, which is good. And there is a geiris, but he's a geiris.
But he doesn't need to go to the mikvah because the mother's...
That's true. But Rav Chaim is just explaining that which the Gemara says, the child has to have a tevila, although the mother's immersion is good. is only because the child was 40 days at the time of her conversion. See, let me switch it around in a more common scenario. Surrogacy is not used by frum people at all. That's a devar pashut. Number one, it's a very big pritzitz anyway. To have a Jew or a goy carry a baby for 9 months, and that can't be done b'tznias, and you know. But what is done, although Paiskim don't like it so much, is a reverse of surrogacy, and that is egg donation. Now it's the same shaila. Egg donation would be the following: the woman, the wife, is able to carry a baby, but she's not ovulating well, or her eggs are not able to be fertilized. So they get an egg from a donor. Now, this will have shilas even if the donor is Jewish, but let's just look at the goy case here. So let's imagine the donor is a non-Jewish woman. So husband Zera fertilizes non-Jewish egg, which then goes into his own wife's rechem and is carried for 9 months. Now here, this is the identical shaila of yichus with surrogacy, except it's going to be reversed. If I go busser the birth mother, the child is Jewish. If I go busser the egg donor, the child is not Jewish. Right? It's the same shaila. So here, Rav Chaim's lumdus with Taina, that for sure the child would be Jewish. And Rav Chaim's lumdus would be not because he was born from a Jewish mother, but because the uber is transferred to the mother well before 40 days, like right after fertilization, and therefore at the chalais of the 40th day, the child was a yid, and therefore he becomes yid and does not need a conversion. So Rav Chaim would say you don't need a conversion. The poskim that say you go buster the birth mother would also say you don't need a conversion. However, some poskim do look at the egg, and they're mechayev. So on all of this lumdus, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach basically says, bottom line, and this is a big trouble, a lot of people don't do this, they don't want to do this. He says, it's a sveika d'dina if yichus is based on birth mother or yichus is based on genetic egg donor. And because it's a sveika d'dina, a giyur misafek must be done in all cases if either the surrogate is non-Jewish or the egg donor is non-Jewish. Now, as I say, frum people don't use surrogates, but frum people do use egg donors, including the Hasidim and the like. Yeah.
What was the case in England a few years ago when it's surrogacy? A frum family.
Yeah.
Then there would be in the newspapers, I think. Frum family.
Well, okay, I'll check. I'm not saying it's never happened, but it's very, very rare. It's very,
what's
very rare.
What's the reason? What's the reason?
Well, it's preaches because here you have, you're a married man, and you have a woman that you're not married to carrying your baby for 9 months. That looks like a preaches. It's a preaches. In other words, unlike egg donation, which is kind of an anonymous thing and you don't really know, and it's, you know, everything is just with your wife, surrogacy is involving somebody else, another woman, for 9 months. That's it's a preeches. For sure it's a preeches.
Well,
it's not. It's
Yerusha.
Huh?
Yerusha, does it change the name in Yerusha?
Well, everything is Habba Atalia. Again, I'm talking right now about, you know, the donor is a goy. If the child is a goy and needs a geiris, there's no Yerusha. If the child is a yid,
so
he did suffik, l'chayru would be hamaitzi mechavera. Suffik yerish gets nothing, right? That's what the Gemara says. It's hamaitzi mechavera ala faraya. When he comes to claim his Yerusha, they basically tell him, you cannot prove you're a yerish. Now, there is a bit of a machlaikis by Sveika Dedina. Oh, okay, this is a different type of suffik here. In other words, this is not a suffik in Metzias. We know the Metzias. It's a suffik what the din is. But we paskin, even in a suffik in din, hamaitzi michaverei olafaraya, although tfisa might have. Okay, I don't want to get into the longness of cheshed mishpat. If he grabbed his chalik, he might be allowed to keep it. This is the shayla of takvukayin. Depending on two, okay, that's really a peripheral thing. But a basin will not give him a Yerusha. Now, the reason why I say this is a problem, and this is a problem you may face, if you go into Rabbanish, you may face this problem, is surrogacy. You said there was a case, but it's not going to be a common situation. But egg donation is a very, very common situation. And in the United States, because of a Roe, you can assume al pi rov that a donated egg is from a goy. Now, women don't perceive of egg donation as having to require a gerus, because look at what happened here. It's an in vitro fertilization procedure in the hospital. They will carry this baby for 9 months, right? So everyone will look, you know, people, it looks like a normal pregnancy. The woman gives birth to the baby after 9 months. And then somebody tells her, you know, there's a shaila if the kid's a guy and the kid might need a gerus. The truth is, people have great, great difficulty being makabel this. And I can tell you, for a matter of fact, that I personally know of egg donation situations where the child did not undergo a gerus and was not informed that he's from a donated egg. Now, the truth is, there is a makom to be samech on many poskim that do say, born from a Jewish mother is Jewish. Rav Chaim's Yisayit would also say, because in its 40th day it was in the Jewish mother's womb, that would make it Jewish without a gerus. So there certainly is a makom to be samech, so I would not ever proclaim, you know, cheshasha, so to speak. Nevertheless, to be honest, I don't know, Chlor, because Rav Shlomo Zalman did paskin that you need a giur misafik in these eifanim, and yet in a lot of these cases there is no giur misafik bichlal.
What about marrying your friend?
Well, once again, if it's a girl and it's a giur misafik, she can't marry a kohen. that's actually right. Now, let me point out, too, in the... Yeah, sorry.
Does Rebbe know any poskim that matter egg donation publicly?
Not in writing. Strange thing. This is really in Shilas and Shuvas on controversial issues, there is sometimes a Torah Shabbal Pen Psak, which has not yet been nitinly kosev. And that is, if you look at Rebbe Yashiv or Shlomo Zalman, they all say they don't like egg donation. They just say, but the evid, if it was done, they talk about the yichus issues. But they do not tell a woman, you're allowed to do this. And the mashmos is, it's improper. And yet, I say, even among the most frum, egg donation is used, but maybe there'll be machra and a gira and be suffic, maybe they won't be. But apparently, on an individualized basis, kveid elokim haster davar, on an individualized basis, paiskim gif heterim, but they're not mefarsimit befarhesia. So I guess this is not befarhesia, I don't know. But in terms of the yichus issues, what troubles me very much is that Rav Shlomo Zalman was machriach that you need gira l'chumra, but in many, in fact, maybe most egg donations in the United States with from people, they typically do not do a gira. Well, certainly non from people certainly don't, and even from people, most of them do not do a gira l'chumra in an egg donation. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they have that freedom to do?
Well, it comes up to a number of things, and let me just talk about some other cases, then you'll see why. Now, there are other issues with egg donation as well, besides yichus. Yichus is number one, goy or Jew, right? That's one issue. But there are other issues. Let's assume, and a lot of them are the same as the sperm donation. And that is, let's say the egg donor is a Jew. If the egg donor is an Ashes Ish, then at least conceivably, there might be a Chashash Mamzeris, where the Zera of Reuven, this gets us back to the same issue of the sperm donation, the Zera of Reuven is fertilizing the egg of a Jewish Ashes Ish.
There was no Mises.
So this gets back to the Machlokes Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe, right? But I remember the Rebbe Yashiv holds that l'chumra l'chatchila one should be machmer as a chashash safek mamzeris. So if the egg donor is a married Jewish woman, there is a chashash of mamzeris. Rav Moshe would not hold that way, because chashash of mamzeris. If it's a relative like a sister, which is sometimes used as a donor, there's also chashash mamzeris, because it's achos ishto, right? That's an erva. And even if you go with Rav Moshe, that there's no chashash of mamzeris, Remember, you have that chashash of secret incest, of a brother marrying a sister. The same problem you have with sperm donation, you have with egg donor, where a brother might grow up marrying a sister, right? So those are chashashas that exist with Jews. Now, when the donor is a non-Jewish woman and you have a giyur, then you don't have those problems, right? On the other hand, you have the problem of the pirtz of impregnating a non-Jewish egg, right? So basically, this is why you have problems, because no matter what you do, there's something that's a little bit wrong. If I use an ashes ish, you at least have a chashash of mamzerus. If I use even a single Jewish woman, you have a chashash of ach, no say, achosa. If I use a goy, we have a shiloh of gavis. So basically, the problem basically is that since whatever you do, there are going to be problems and hesitations. And bichlal, the Paiskim talk in a bit of an unclear category. They call this irbuvia. Irbuvia means that when the Zera Yisrael is not clear and defined, and you have a mix-up and a bilbul as to who is the parent, even if it's technically not a Maisa Zanus, the Paiskim consider it to be a Pirtza in the Kedusha of Am Yisrael. So they have not been enthusiastic. It's done, and on an individual basis, it's a Dover Pashit. People get Heterim. I know this. But Barabim, you know, it's not a Dover that's Meforsim, except among modern Orthodox Poskim, if that's the proper term. They openly matter it. Among the more Haredi, they matter it Bitsina, not before Hesia, but they do talk about the yichus problems afterwards that are very, very severe. So, yeah.
So Shiloh's opinion of Ben, it's the first kid. So who, if you go up to that mother or the original mother?
Yes, it's going to be telling that pigeon of Ben too. That's right. Because if I follow the egg donor, there would be no pigeon of Ben.
Right.
If on the other hand, the Jewish mother is the mother, it becomes her Petra Rechem, and it would also be Nogay if she has a natural child afterwards, if that's the Bechor. Right? Because if the first one is not, then there would be a pigeon of Ben on the second
one. That would be a Suffolk Rachel without Tala, so what would you do?
Well, you know, that's a question. The question is, if it's truly a Suffolk Hashokel, so you're Paita without a Bracha. That's all. But the question is, it's not so clear how Rav Shlomo Zalman... See, I oversimplified a little bit, because Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be naita that you go buster the birth mother, but lechumra, he says. So it could be that... I don't know if he passed me, but it could be that if he felt me ikered, then you go buster the birth mother. So it could be you even make a bracha for pigeon open. Okay? So again, all I can tell you is these are not things you're going to paskin on, but these are things that will be certainly dumped into your lap after the fact, and you need to be aware of the issues of Geiris and have your paisek handy. What did they used to say? They used to say that in the olden days, every smicha had Rav Moshe Feinstein's phone number on the back, so in case there was an emergency, you know, you had somebody to call. Rav Yaakov was very upset. Rav Yaakov Tainet, you know, when B'nai Torah started starting their own minyanim, they were breaking away from the mainstream shuls and starting their own shuls because they wanted a faster davening. It wasn't necessarily such a Shem Shemayim thing, but many of them weren't hiring Rabbanim. They just felt they were B'nai Torah. They didn't need a Rav. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was very upset. He said, you have to have a Rav. And he called Rav Moshe. He blamed Rav Moshe. He says, Rav Moshe, he says, you know, listen, everybody knows they can ask you any shiloh they want. So, and they figured they'll never get a Rav better than Rav Moshe Feinstein. So why should we hire a Rav if we have Rav Moshe? So he told Rav Moshe, you have to stop answering shilohs and tell them, ask your Rav. You know, and then they'll get a Rav. Right? This is what Rav Yaakov said. Okay. Let me mention another issue that's very nogeya to this as well. So, again, briefly, surrogacy, egg donation, right? These are things that come up. Let me mention, we know that abortion, bichlal, is a very, very complicated area of halacha. Unfortunately, the state of Israel has one of the highest percentages of abortions in the world. It's a very, very high rate. It has been estimated that there would have been 1 million more Jews in Eretz Yisrael. You're already talking about had there not been abortions. And the MS is, it's a big, big korban. It's like a silent Holocaust besides assimilation, which is another silent Holocaust that Yidden have done to themselves, there is an important organization, Efrat, not to be confused with the cities, Efrat, and Efrat encourages women who, for whatever reason, want to have an abortion. It provides, you could give your child for adoption or other services that can help, so you don't have to, a woman doesn't have to make such a radical decision. I just want to mention, Bekitzer, some aspects of this. Number one, what is very, very strange is Halacha has a bifurcated, a double standard for B'nai Nayach and Yidden. That is, for B'nai Nayach, Hapalas Uber, killing an Uber, is a chi of Misa. It's considered to be Shvichas Damim Mamish. And a Ben Nayach that is Mapil, whether it's a Jewish fetus or a non-Jewish fetus, makes no nafkamina. A Ben Nayach that is Mapil is chi of Misa under the Zion Misas B'nai Nayach. And this is based on a drasha. It says, Shofeich, in Parshas Nayach, Shofeich dam ha'adam bi'adam, damai shofeich. He who spills the blood of a person within a person, his blood shall be spilled. The English doesn't translate it that way, but adam bi'adam. So Chazal say, what is adam bi'adam? What is a person in a person? That's an uber. B'nai Nayach Neharagin al Ha'obrin, the Chi of Misa. But paradoxically, by a Yid, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Hagam that it's Usr, Avade it's Usr, Avade it's, we'll see what the Yisr is, it's Usr, for sure. But a Yid is not Nerag al Ha'obrin. And the Gemara gives two drushas why a Yid is not Nerag al Ha'obrin. One is because it says, Makeh Nefesh Adam Mos Yumas, if you smite a Nefesh, Mos Yumas, so a full Nefesh is Maitzi Anubra that doesn't have a full Nefesh, he's buckled to the mother. The Gemara gives another drasha, interestingly enough, from the din that says that if two people are fighting, right, and a pregnant woman tries to stop them, and she gets hit, and she has a miscarriage, so the Torah says, Yim Asan Yiyeh, meaning if she dies, Lo Yeh Yonesh, there's no monetary penalty because of Komlei Bedrabinei, they're Chai of Misa, so there's no mammon. But it says if there's no Asain, that means what? If she doesn't die, but she just miscarries, Onesh Yeyonesh, that's called what? Demei Veladus, right? You learned in Bava Kamma the sugyas of Demei Veladus. Now we know that if I do an Avera that I'm Chai of Misa for, I don't pay Damim, that's Komlei Bedrabinei. So if killing an Uber is something you're Chai of Misa for, how could I pay money? Just like the Torah says, if she dies, I don't pay money. Because of Komlei Bedrabinei. So if she doesn't die, but the Uber dies, why do I pay money? You have a Raya Taka, that you're not Chai of Misa for Harigas Uber. Right? So we have two different Yusaitas. A Ben Nayach is Chai of Misa, and a Yid is not Chai of Misa. And even though we have a klal that you never matir something for a yid, that's usher for a guy. But Taisus explains that just means what is usher for a guy is not going to be mutter for a yid. But the einshim could be different. For kept a lot of einshim for yid in Amar Mekel. If a guy steals, he's chay of misa. Right? If a yid steals, you're not chay of misa. Right? So the fact that yidn have easier einshim, that's not a stira to that cloud. So the problem is this. The problem is, if indeed a Yid is not Nerag ala Uber, if you're not Nerag ala Uber, so why is it Usher? In other words, why is abortion Usher? By a Goy, we can say abortion is Usher because it's defined as Ritzicha. But by a Yid is not Nerag, even if there's Hasra, that means, even if there's Hasra. So why is it Usher? So there are many, many different dais in Paiskim. What is the aside of why a Jew cannot perform an abortion? Rav Moshe learns that Hapalas Uber is Ritzicha Mamish. Now there's Kishem that it's Ritzicha for a Goy, it's Ritzicha for a Yid, it's a Gezeiras HaKosov, that it's Azar Ritzicha, that you're not Chai of Misa for. In other words, Rav Moshe shows that there are many cases where you're Oiver, the Lav de Oraisa of Lai Sirtzach, but you're not Chai of Misa. That's all.
So why isn't it
Komei Berabim? Huh? Because you're not Chai of... No, because the Tanu Devei Chizkiya says, chayve misa shaygikin. In other words, if b'mezid you're chayev misa, so even b'shaygik. But here there's bichlal no chayev misa, even though it's receiving.
And it's also should love have any time chayev misa.
All right, so this wouldn't go like this. Wouldn't go like that. That's correct. But if we pasuk in the Tanya Vechiski just means chayiv misa shaykh. Yeah. So this is not that. This is not that. You're not chayiv misa klal. So that's what Meisha. So Rav Meisha considers abortion to be the same as ritzicha, even if there's a gezeiras hakasav, you don't get the death penalty. However, there's a tshuva from the Chavos Yoyer. Chavos Yoyer is one of the great early gedalei achreinim. Very chashuv Chavos Yoyer. The Chavos Yoyer Tainus. That abortion is not ritzicha for a yid, and that the raya is that he's not nerak. A brzuk dechavas yoyer, abortion is usher because it's a kal v'chaymer from hashchas zera. Person spills seed, right? What's the pshat? It's not ritzicha, it's not a person, but he's meineya, the potentiality of becoming a person. That's hashchas zera, so it's a kal v'chaymer. If the Torah says, even Zera, you can't be mashkes. Kal v'chaymer, you can't be mashkes and over mamish. But it's not ritzicha, but it's preventing the future potential from developing. There are other shitas that say, this is a pella, that the only isser of abortion is chavala to the mother. Just like you're not allowed to cut off her hands, it's chavala. So abortion is chavalah. You're chayv, which is chayv, very, very difficult. I have to go back and then check. Now, that's a very mudna way of looking at it, because it turns out, I mean, we matter chavalah for all sorts of reasons. For example, if a woman wants to undergo some cosmetic surgery because she is a little disfigured, not just vanity. So even though it's chavalah, but that's a chavalah that's considered to be legitimate. I mean, if you're only looking at abortion because of chavala bi'alma, then l'chayr, there would be many, many kulas in it. And there's a shita of Rav Yaakov Emden, strangely enough. Rav Yaakov Emden says, we don't paskin like this. But Rav Yaakov, actually, he brings a taisus that says, the isser of abortion for a Jew is only an isser d'rabbanan. Okay, so we have a whole range of shitas. Rav Meisha, it is ritzicha without a chiyuv misa. Ritzicha mamish, leisirtzach, which is how many, you know, most people, you say that. We have the chavos yoyer, that it's hashchasas zera. We have a third shita that it's chavala bi'alma. Then we have another shita that it's an isher d'rabban. Yeah.
That be a heter for a single girl that got pregnant to get an abortion?
Yes, it might be that hedger, but yeah, we don't follow that hedger. But if it's nisur d'rabbanan, busha, kavod abrios. Remember, kavod abrios allows transgression of an nisur d'rabbanan.
Is Ramesha asking that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, everyone who argues on Ramesha, all these other opinions that are
no, the other opinions would not. It's not ritzicha, but only a d'rabbanan would be nitcha. In other words, like the other shitas, it's nisur d'araisa. So
there's still no hetter.
That's correct. That's
what
correct.
If it's before 40 days?
All right, so that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to have to hold this over. But we'll talk about this. Before 40 days, again, there are a lot of issues here. One thing that's very important, I'll just end with this, because one thing that's very important is, and you know, in Eitara have to know this, Paiskim certainly have to know this, it's very important not to take quotes from Chazal out of the context. The Gemara does say in many, many places that pachais mimem yain, maya bi'alma, the embryo is just water. Says it a million times. However, there is not a single place in Shas where the Gemara ever uses that svora legabe abortion. The Gemara uses it in a different context. The Gemara uses it legabe a korban yeledes. A woman must bring a korban on the 41st day after the birth of a son, and the 81st day after the birth of a daughter, and even if there's a miscarriage, there's still a chiyuv korban. A brishtet in Gemara that if a woman is mapil an uber, that's pachais mimem yaim, since it's mayim bi'alma, there's no chiyuv korban. That's what the Gemara says it by. There's no korban yeledes on a hapala pachais mimem yaim. The question is that going to be relevant on the issue of abortion? There is a miyut of paiskim that say that since pachas mimem yaim is maya bialma, it's going to be mutter, because it's not a mitzias. However, let me point out that like the chavas yoyer, that's vada not going to be the case, because here's the svara. The most pachas mimem yaim tells me is it's not yet a person. But according to the chavas yoyer, the issue of abortion is not because it's a person. It's because it's hashchas hazera. Now, sperm is certainly pachas mimem yaim. Right? So, if the Chavis Yoyer says the issue of abortion is not that you're destroying an actual person, but you're preventing a potential, then like the Chavis Yoyer, pachas mimem yaim for sure is no good. Chavala, it's not clear. Pachas mimem yaim, you don't have to be chayvo, but if you have to be chayvo the woman's body, that would be a problem. Now, Rav Meisha is a bit of a problem. Like Rav Meisha, the Tainus, abortion is ritzicha. There actually would be a good svara to say that if the isser is you're killing an actual chefza, pachas mimem yaim is not. In other words, this would be where Rav Meisha, who is the strictest view, holding that it's ritzicha, there actually is a very good svara that he would matir pachas mimem yaim. Do you hear the reason for that? Because like Rav Meisha, the isser is not you're destroying a potential. The isser is you're killing an actual person. Memela, if the Gemara says pachas mimem yaim is mayim bialma, it should be mutter. Aber da'aka. Unfortunately, although in Lomdus one might have assumed that Rav Meisha's din of ritzicha would actually matir abortion pachas mimem yaim, Rav Meisha Beferish does not. Rav Meisha Beferish says it is ritzicha, and it is ritzicha even pachas mimem yaim. It's a tzorichian exactly. How can I call it ritzicha pachas mimem yaim if it's mayim b'yalma? See, like the Chavas Yoyer, I can hear very, very clearly why it would be usher. But why it would be usher like Rav Meisha is a tzorichian, but good. But tzorichian doesn't change Rav Meisha's pesach. Rav Meisha does paskin, abortion, pachas mimem yaim, is usher. However, what you have is the following. Not Rav Meisha himself. Some poskim will use pachas mimem yaim as a sniff if there are other heterim, which we'll talk about. So they still are mitztare fit, even though they will not use it as an independent basis. Okay? All right, well, we'll continue. I guess we'll have to have one more session.